afflictions and your poverty. Yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Father God, please speak to us through your word today. Please help us to hear what you are saying to us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Those of you who are teachers in school, or the people here who have children or grandchildren in school, will know all about Ofsted inspections. If you work in a school, you probably don't look forward to the inspectors coming. In the chapters of Revelation that we are looking at over the next few weeks, we have Jesus' report on the 7 churches in Asia, as written up by John. Last week, Lorraine told us about the church at Ephesus, and this week we are hearing about the church in Smyrna. Sorry about the different pronunciation.
Oh, thank you, Charles.
Ofsted have 4 different grades: outstanding, good, needs improvement, and inadequate. If Jesus had been using the same grades, I think that Ephesus would have received needs improvement, and Smyrna would be rated as good. Jesus tells us that the church in Smyrna was afflicted and in poverty, but that they are rich. I think he is saying that they are poor in material things, but that they are rich in spiritual things. How does our church compare? I know that there are some people in our church who are struggling financially, but most of us are rich in material things. Most of us have nice houses, good cars, TVs, and a host of other things that help us to feel comfortable. We are rich in material things, but are we rich spiritually? I believe that most of us are poor spiritually because we have so many things to entertain us. We don't spend enough time with Jesus or with each other. Even when we do meet other members of the church socially, we don't normally talk about our faith and our spiritual experience. The church in Smyrna was doing well spiritually. Perhaps you would expect Jesus to tell them that everything was going to be fine and that they should just keep on with the work they were already doing. But Jesus does not say this. He says that they will be persecuted and that some of them will be put in prison, and he implies that some of them will even be killed. Here at St. Paul's, perhaps that is not what we expect Jesus to say. If we are doing well, we expect to be blessed, not persecuted, but God needs to prune us. Jesus tells us that pruning is necessary in chapter 15 of John's Gospel. He tells us that every branch that bears fruit is pruned, and that God takes away the branches that do not bear fruit. We don't like to think of God pruning us. In the 21st century, we want God to ignore all our sinfulness, not help us to be holy. Jesus promises the church at Smyrna that if they are faithful, even to the point of death, he will give them life as their victor's crown. I wonder how much we value eternal life. When the Christian writer and preacher David Watson was dying of cancer, he often said, "The best is yet to be." Many of us seem to have forgotten this and would prefer the pleasures of this life for as long as possible. The final verse of our reading today tells us, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death." Are we listening to what the Spirit tells us? He speaks to us through the Bible and in our hearts. If we do not read the Bible, we cannot hear what the Spirit is saying to us. If we ignore what the Bible tells us about how to live our lives, it makes it harder to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Today there are many within the church who say that Bible teaching and moral behaviour should be ignored. As Lorraine reminded us a few weeks ago, there are also many church leaders who do not believe what the Bible tells us about Jesus. The survey she quoted came from the early 1960s, when many trainee church leaders did not believe in the virgin birth or the resurrection of Jesus, and only a small minority believed that Christ will come again. St. John would welcome Jesus' return, but will we? Jesus told a parable about a man who arranged a feast, but when the meal was ready, the people he had invited didn't want to come. They all had excuses. One day, and it may be soon, Jesus is going to come to take his people to be with him. When he comes, will you have excuses about why you don't want to go? Maybe you will want to see your unborn grandchildren. Maybe I will want to see the postponed Celine Dion concert. Maybe you will want to know if your football team is finally going to win the league, or see if England can win the Ashes back. When the time comes, will you say no to Jesus' invitation? When St. John wrote to Smyrna, the church there was thriving, even though it was being persecuted. Today there are a few small churches in the area where Smyrna used to be, but the region is mainly Muslim. Even the church that was doing well when Jesus wrote to them has almost disappeared. What about St. Paul's? Are we close to disappearing? I wonder when was the last time that any of us brought a new person to faith in Christ. We seem to have stopped trying. Why? The church in Smyrna was being persecuted. You might think after our window was smashed today that maybe we are a little bit as well. But people were being thrown into prison or losing their jobs or even being killed for talking about their faith in Christ. Despite this, the people in Smyrna kept on telling people about Jesus and their church was growing. What stops us talking about our faith in Christ to our neighbours or the people we work with? The worst that can happen to us is that we will be laughed at or lose some of our friends. Do we care about Jesus so little that we can't risk this for him? A fortnight ago, Clive spoke about the two great commandments, which can be summarised as love God and love your neighbour. Last week, Lorraine told us about a church that had left their first love. I don't think we love God if we don't talk about him to our neighbours. I don't think we love our neighbours if we don't tell them about Jesus and what he has done for them. At the end of last week's sermon, Jesus challenged me with a question, and I nearly cried. He said, "Wasn't there a moment when you loved me too?" Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to love you and our Father in heaven. Help us to love our neighbours enough to tell them about you and what you mean to us. Help us to bring people to faith in you. May our church grow in faith and numbers. We ask this in your name.